Good morning. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray, God, as we come to your word, may you speak to us, Lord. We humble ourselves before you. We just really want to hear your voice. We want to be led by you, God. We turn to you, God, for every need of ours, Lord. We come to you to sustain ourselves, God. And we want to worship you and glorify you in all that we do. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read from verses 18 to chapter 5, verse 5. Okay. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge.
Amen.
Okay, so what Paul is talking about here, he's actually talking about the resurrection of the body. Not the resurrection of Jesus, but the resurrection of us as Christians. What will happen to us when we pass away and Christ comes, and he's saying that he's telling the Corinthians, in the future, when Christ comes, you will have this resurrected body that is free of this earthly presence. So you can notice how there's actually two things you should notice that he kind of places side by side. First is this term earthly tent. So it's earthly and it's a tent. And he places it side by side with this building from God, eternal in the heavens. So you have this eternal building or heavenly building, and that is made by God. So it's not this dinky little tent. Because Paul is a tent maker, so he understood that this tent could be destroyed. This tent could be like the tabernacle of the Israelites in the wilderness. It could be rolled up, transported from place to place. It wasn't very temporal. I mean, it wasn't very eternal. It was temporal. It moved from place to place. And finally, when the Israelites settled, Solomon ended up building this temple that should have lasted. But he's comparing it to, he's putting these two ideas side by side, where you have this temporal building that can be torn down, whereas this eternal building from God that is heavenly, that is made from God's hands, that cannot be torn down or destroyed. And so he's addressing this issue of resurrection with the Corinthians, which actually he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you can go into that chapter to see more of how Paul explains it. But here he's explaining it again. And his essential message is that because Christ has been resurrected, so too will all Christians. And this is what it means to, quote-unquote, escape this world. Because for the Greeks, they thought that the highest form of, I guess, what's the word I used here? The highest state of being is the separation from this physical world, because they viewed the physical or the material, like this piece of paper, as evil or as sinful. And to escape this body and just to be spirit is the highest level of attainment. It's like Zen for them. And so Paul is making this argument. He's saying that, no, to leave this world, to have your spirit leave this world, to leave this physical world, is not the highest state of attainment. The highest state of attainment is to be who God has created us to be physical beings. And so that's why we have this resurrection of the body that is not tainted by sin. It's not this earthly tent. It is this glorious heavenly body built by the hands of God that cannot be tainted by sin. That it's more in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for a longer kind of explanation from Paul. So Paul is, in here, he's reiterating his point. Just reminding them once again, in the face of, because he's also talking about suffering, and in the face of suffering, in the face of all these trials and temptations and everything that you go through in this life, we have something to look forward to. It's not just this grin and bear it kind of suffering. The NASB version doesn't bring this out as much, where he's saying you don't escape this world. The NRSV, that's the New Revised Standard Version, actually makes this much more clear. In verse 4, the NASB says, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. So it seems that you can interpret Paul as saying that we don't want to be unclothed. We want to kind of put away what we have in this world and to put on something better. But in the NRSV, it actually says, we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed. So it's this idea that we don't do away with what we have now, but we put on more. And it's this idea, we put on, you know, we take on Christ, we live for Christ, we take on his life because we have died to our life and he has given us his life. But it all adds to this idea that what we have, the life that has been given to us, slowly and surely takes over us. Where at the end of verse 4 it says, the mortal will be swallowed up by life. And it's this idea of abundant life, whole life. And so for Christians, for us, this serves to be a pillar of hope, this idea that, like I said, with all the sufferings and all the circumstances that we go through, all the pain, all the trials, that it is not the end for us. We know that there is something more. We know that, I mean, for the Christians in the first century, because and for many Christians nowadays, actually the majority of Christians, they undergo real life persecution, not like snowflake type persecution that we go through, like, oh, you're a horrible person because you don't include gays into your community. I'm like, well, that's a huge assumption on your part. And two, I mean, that is persecution. I don't want to play it down, but we're not getting thrown into the gladiator's den and like having to fight lions, right? We don't have to meet in secret and pray that the police doesn't come to our door to stop our meeting and throw us in jail. Like, we don't have to face that kind of persecution. But for Christians in the first century, this is something that they really had to face. They had to face this idea of being ostracized completely from society. And so for them, they needed to have this hope to cling on to say that, yeah, this life is worth it. There is something to being a Christian. More than, I mean, yes, there is hope now, but it's like that incentive at the end of the day, And so that's why, Paul inserts all this language about the temporal and the things which are seen. You see this right now. This is what we perceive in the now, but there is something more that we cannot see yet. But at the same time, we do perceive in some way that we do take this by faith. That's why later in verse 7, he goes, we walk by faith and not by sight. We do have something to look forward to despite the fact that we cannot see things which are not seen. We groan and yearn and long and pine for the eternal reality that is to come. And we take this on faith. We know that to be true by faith. I can't prove it to you other than just to point to the Bible and say, well, Jesus was resurrected and therefore we will be resurrected too. And so that is our hope. However, at times I must admit, this is for me, that it's difficult to maintain this hope, right? Because it's hard to see. And that's one of our issues as humans. Like, we need to see in order to believe. And then people will throw it out saying it as well, you need to believe before you can see. I'm like, for me, I struggle with that a lot because I'm like, that's a bunch of crap. I need to see it. Like, for me, I'm very evidence-based, so it's taking me a long time to actually even come to like where I am in the faith now to actually believe some things and to say things in faith and to pray certain prayers, even though I know they're audacious. And very impossible. It's taken me a lot to come to this point. And yet, I still struggle many times with the fact that I can't see certain things. With the fact that, okay, well, Paul is telling me I have this body to look forward to. I'm like, well, that's great. That's in the future. Right? Now I have to go through all this suffering. I feel like even for me, and I'm sure for some of us, that we have the tendency to read these passages, you know, just as a purely future reality. It doesn't apply to our current situation. Like, it doesn't really help us in the now. Like, okay, this is in the future. In verse 4, Paul writes, "For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan being burdened." And it seems to suggest, or kind of reiterates the point that, you know, we are to just take the suffering and bear it. Now, this is our lot in life. And in many ways it is. I mean, the Bible does talk about suffering and persecution and having to go through trials. And it's not out of, like, for Christians, we need to come to the realization and accept the fact, well, whether we accept it or not, this is going to be... This is our lot in life, that we will go through suffering and persecution, actually regardless of whether we're a Christian or not. But as Christians, we have this broader view. Like, our suffering and the things that we undergo are actually good for us. And it is a part of our life, and we should welcome it. I mean, there's so many passages. I originally came up with a list of 6, just off the top of my head, but I cut it down to 3 for the sake of time. I mean, just type in suffering in the Bible and in Google, and you'll come up with so many passages. But just a few for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. This is just later on in the book where Paul talks about his affliction and how he asked God to 3 times to remove it from him. And later he goes, "I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake." He is well content. James chapter 1, verse 2. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." 1 Peter 4:12. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." See, all these passages tells us about the suffering that we will undergo. And I think one of the conclusions I tend to draw from a lot of these passages is that you will suffer now, but your reward will come in the future. And I think about that, I'm like, okay, my reward is in the future. It's in the future. I just have to grin and bear it. Like, there's really nothing in the now, right? And I just go down a deep, dark place, and I just focus on the fact that, okay, I go through this now, but in the future, I just kind of look towards the future. And But I look at verse 5 and what Paul writes. "Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God." So God has prepared us for this. This is our purpose. And also in the second part, "who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge." And I think this really gives me hope for the present. The presence of the Holy Spirit plays a very important role. See, we can read verse 5 to mean that the Holy Spirit is God's, well, what it means, Holy Spirit is God's pledge to us, is that one reading of it is that this is his guarantee that we will enter the kingdom of heaven, right? I mean, that's very clear. But I think it goes much deeper than that, where it does give us encouragement for the present. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, Paul writes, "He saved us according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." Again, you can read this as, okay, well, this is Holy Spirit, you know, changing my life so that I will be free of sin and, you know, I will enter the kingdom of heaven, that God will accept me in the day that Jesus comes to judge the earth. But I feel like this new renewing isn't something that is yet to come. I feel like this renewing is something that is already happening now. Holy Spirit has been given to us as a pledge, not so that in the future it's like this coat check ticket that you hand in and like, all right, I have the ticket for the Holy Spirit, now I get entrance in the kingdom of heaven. But the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a pledge to give us strength, to give us encouragement, to give us the power to overcome some of the difficulties and the circumstances that we go through now. See, this idea of our life, that we get this glorified body in the future, yes, that is in the future. But the Holy Spirit is evidence for us now that we have something to look forward to today, that we can enjoy the benefits today. See, this idea of renewing isn't something that is yet to come. It's already something that is happening. You just go back a few verses in chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, right? We have courage today, not because of something in the future. Yes, there is something in the future. But Paul writes, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed, what? Day by day. In the present, something is going on inside of us. And if you read verse 16 with what Paul writes in chapter 5, there's this parallel. We have the outer man is decaying and the inner man is being renewed day by day. You put this side by side with chapter 5, verse 4. What is mortal, right, our outer man, is being swallowed up by life, is being renewed. What's on the inside, our spirit, is getting so powerful, right, where it just overwhelms the decay, the effects of sin on our body. And you see this, right? We see people being healed, right? And you look, you're like, okay, well, see, that's one of the things I had to struggle with. I'm like, okay, well, that's fine and dandy for them, but about me, like, yeah, I get over a cold, but how about all the other stuff that I deal with? All my shame, all my guilt, the effects of all the sins in the past that I've committed and continue to bleed into my life now. How does that change? How can we say that the Holy Spirit is present and empowering us to walk in such a way where, you know, our outer man is being overwhelmed by this inner light that's within us? And the encouragement I have for you this morning is actually just to stop comparing. I think when we stop comparing, we are able to see a lot more of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. See, the problem with comparison, whether you're comparing, I mean, we know not to compare ourselves with other people. That much is pretty obvious to us, right? We can remind ourselves, okay, I'm comparing myself to this person. And this person is on their own journey. This person is on their own walk. God is showing them different things. And so I cannot put my spiritual life right up to theirs and see, like, oh man, Holy Spirit isn't working in my life, and that's why my life is such a mess, and I can't draw any hope from this, and I'm getting depressed, and da-da-da-da-da-da. So that much we know. I think a lot of the issue is actually when we compare ourselves to ourselves. We have this idealized version of who we want to be, right? And we match who we are now to what we want to be. We have this idealized version of ourselves. Or we feel like we should be this kind of Christian. We feel like we should be more forgiving. We feel like we should have less anger. Or in certain situations that anger shouldn't come out. I should respond more graciously. I spent the last week on paternity leave, and I'm so glad to be here so early this morning. Even though I'm getting a little less sleep than I would if I was at home, because crying babies ain't no joke. As much as I love my son, it's difficult. It's tough. And he's crying. You're like, I'm doing everything that people are telling me to do. I'm doing everything that I know from experience that works, but nothing is working. And all this junk starts coming out. I'm like, why? Right? And in the moment, I'm like, I wish I wasn't like this. And I get down on myself because, like, well, one, this is my second kid, so I should be used to this. I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. All this vile emotion shouldn't be coming out. And I feel guilty. And in that way, I compare myself to myself because I should be this one person. But the problem with that is that we start idolizing ourselves. We have created an image of ourself in our own image. as opposed to trying to mold ourselves into the image of God. Does that make sense for you guys? Right? We become, in some ways, we turn ourselves into an idol. And the encouragement for you today is, in light of Pastor Nate's message this Sunday, is God doesn't hold you up to this idealized version that you have created. God holds you up to who He has created you to be. He doesn't condemn you. Right? You are becoming more and more like Jesus than you can ever imagine. And you know, I don't have any magic formula for you to go through. And that's just really, you know, I pray that by the mercy of God, that Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit and gives you that truth. He encourages you that you are being empowered, that Holy Spirit is working in your life today. I mean, just look at where you were 6 months ago and see what kind of things you have learned. I know that's kind of comparing yourself to yourself, but you guys know what I mean. But just look at what, you know, how God has led you through the past 6 months, the past 3 months, the past week, what He has shown you. And we are created in the image of God and not in the image of a perfect version of, you know, Ken or Donald or whoever. You don't have to match up to anyone, including yourself. Just be yourself. Right? God has not condemned you. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans chapter 8. And at the end of chapter 8, Paul also writes, God came to justify. He didn't come to condemn. So who can actually condemn? Nobody. So why are you condemning yourself? So as Annie comes up and leads us in worship this morning, let's let the Holy Spirit speak to us. You know, be encouraged. God doesn't look at you with disappointment. So you don't need to look at yourself with disappointment. You don't need to be disappointed that you don't match up to who you think you should be. You can take the pressure off yourself because God doesn't condemn you.
Reason that I sing.
we sing this song, God, as we pour out our hearts before you, that we just want our words and our thoughts to be pleasing to you, Father. God, may you remind us of how much you love us, God, and how much you love that attitude and that posture from us. It's not about our actions, the results that we are able to show, but it is about our hearts, Lord. And so, Father, I pray for all of us, God, that you encourage us, Lord. May you bring encouragement for us today. Holy Spirit, come speak to us and remind us, God, of why you have been given to us as a pledge. That it's not only for something in the future, but it is for now as well. That you are renewing us day by day. You are working in us. You are washing us. You are bringing new life into us. You are renewing us day by day. And we thank you, Lord. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those in our community that have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Let's pray for those who are sick and also have to receive the word of Christ from into their hearts. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to open up their ears to see the reality, their sinful nature, and just for them to come into the grace of God. Let's also pray for those suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand on them, for a quick healing and for encouragement as they continue to pray for healing. Let's also pray for those in our community looking for jobs. Let's pray for open doors. Let's also pray for discernment and wisdom as they just evaluate all their different opportunities. Let's pray for China this morning. Let's pray for the country of China. Let's pray for SB Beijing and Pastor Hansu and SB Shanghai led by Pastor Ricky. Let's also pray for the Chong family, the missionaries that we support, Matt and Nate's parents, as well as all the churches in China. Let's pray for them as many of them are being persecuted. Let's pray for strength to rise up and for them to continue strong in the faith. Pray for the board. Let's pray that God is, God is in their presence. But as they meet and as they just kind of talk through and discuss through things of the church, that they're filled with wisdom, that they're filled with the Holy Spirit to carry out God's vision for this church. Pray for our fellowship ministries, young adults. They'll be having a board game night this week or on July 21st. Let's also pray for all their activities planned for August. Let's pray for the men's ministry, the Monday morning prayer, or the Pure Desire group, and as well as the women's ministry. Let's pray for SB 2.0, our building and resources. Let's pray for the benefactor. Let's also pray for a vision fund. Let's pray for, just also pray for our current building. I pray for God's hand and covering over our premises. Also lift up our city in light of more demonstration and protests and unrest over the weekend. Let's pray for peace to come over the city. Let's pray for our leaders to listen to people, and the people to really be led by a love for this city and just for God's protection and covering over everyone. Let's pray for Shanti VBS. Vacation Bible School is happening this week. So let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray for the volunteers that are helping. Let's also pray for mostly for the kids that are coming, that they will experience the love of Christ as they attend these camps, and that they just really be loved upon by the leaders. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you that we can come and read your word. We thank you that we can come and worship you, Lord, in freedom, Lord, that we don't need to be careful, Lord, but that we have an amazing place. And so we thank you for all your blessings, God. We thank you, Lord, that we do have a home to go to, Lord, in the future, that you do have an incredible future for us, an eternal future, Lord, that we have life, God. We just thank you that this life we can even see now, Lord. I pray for all of us, Lord. Help us see. Open up our eyes, Holy Spirit, to see what it is you are doing around us, what you are doing in our lives, God, and how you are changing us, Father. So we thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.